Me in your pew Bibles to page 840. And I'll be reading 1 Timothy 4, verse 7 to 8. And then we will have a second reading, and I'll tell you what that is when we get to it. Okay, so 1 Timothy, verse 4, 7 to 8. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. That's our first reading. Our second reading is found on page 826. And I'm going to be reading Galatians 5, verses 19 to 23. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Dear Lord, I just ask that you prepare our hearts and minds as we listen to the message that you have placed on Jason's heart to deliver to us this morning. Be with Jason as he brings your word to us and give him the words that you want him to speak. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you, Jane. Thank you as well to our team for leading us this morning. Hey, we are finishing a series called Five to Grow, which is about five key habits to grow in faith. We've done word and prayer, connection, discipleship, generosity and service, and today we're doing rhythm, which is around developing a pattern of life that grows in us the character of Jesus. I guess you might say that today's theme or focus is about the habit of having habits. Now, I think that there's a person in our church who is whose day job is about helping people develop habits, and his name is Kristen Lewis. So I've asked if I could interview Kristen on how he helps people develop habits that I think they might want but not really, really want. So if you make him feel welcome, that'd be great. Kristen doesn't know what I'm going to ask him, which is the best way. But for those of you who don't know, Kristen, can you tell folk what you do as a day job?
Yeah, so I help people keep fit. So run a personal training business, and I guess the people that engage us are looking to make some changes to their health. And we help them with the working out what those goals are. But then also the key part is helping them stick to those goals.
Very key. So I heard on the radio this week that if you made a New Year's resolution, most people have given up by February the 14th. So here are people who say, I want to get healthy, fit. They would no doubt come with a strong desire for that. They even lay down money to do so. Yet we know that in your industry, lots of people fail to follow through. So just talk to us about how you help people form the habits that they need to get the outcomes they want. How do you help people do that?
Yeah, sure. So I think like most things, having real clarity on what the end game is or what the goal is really important. And I guess in our specific situation where they're working with a trainer, I guess it's having that mutual understanding so both people are clear. But I think where it really, really gets stuck in is when, if I back up, what I often say to people when they first are telling me their goals, I'll often say to them, the most motivated you're going to be on this journey is right now. It's only going to get worse from here. So I guess that's where compliance comes in. So having, like in a personal training context, having someone that you're accountable to who's going to be with you on that journey. But I guess in other contexts, having other people in place or having a process that you're committed to in place that will, I guess, keep you going when your motivation's starting to wane.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're a very disciplined person yourself. You're you're an elite athlete. You've done that kind of area in terms of cycling. You've often talked to me about how there are times when you even don't feel like getting up and going and doing whatever you need to do, especially maybe even when you're sick. How do you battle that?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I think it's a really practical and relevant question for all of us. Yep, definitely I'm not a superhuman. Yeah, I definitely have times when I feel like rolling over and not getting up when my alarm goes off. I think the things which keep me going are, number one, my particular sport is cycling, and I'll say to people, I've never had a bad ride. And that includes the ones where it's pouring with rain, a puncture, I just miss hitting a kangaroo. When you finish it all, I'm still like looking, I look back and go, I'm really glad I did that. I feel much better for doing it. So I guess I'm clear on why I do it, and I try and keep in my head that feeling of what I feel like, and I also try and think about how disappointed I'll be if I don't do it. So I think that is what keeps me going. And I think the other thing on a practical note is, I have expectations of myself in each of those, my own exercise sessions, but I'm realistic enough to recognise that sometimes, yeah, you get sick, other things happen that are beyond your control. So I try and subscribe to the theory that anything's better than nothing, which means that sometimes, I'll let myself off the hook. I'll do a slightly shorter session. I might do a slower session, but it's really important to me that I still get the session in and get that footprint of my week in.
How did you, because you became a Christian later in life, how did you take this way of thinking and then bring it into following Jesus?
Sure. Probably the best example for me would be around Bible study, I guess, daily devotions and those sorts of things. So I'd probably struggled along for a number of years trying to try different devotions, seeing if one would stick. None of them did. And I guess in the end, I thought to myself, I'm really clear on what I want and what God wants from me. But in the end, I didn't have accountability. I didn't have, a process to follow. And so in the end, for me, what that looked like for me was having a chat with Kim Harris initially, and then getting involved in BSF. So for me, that's, I guess it was like a personal trainer for my Bible reading. And it's been really helpful for me from that regard.
If a friend of yours became a Christian, what would you be looking at helping grow in their life? They've come from a completely non-church background, don't know anything about it. What would be the habits you'd hope you could help them grow into their life?
Probably the same habits that I'm hoping to grow into my own life, I think, at just a different level. So I think, obviously being around at church on Sundays, to hear the message, to fellowship with other believers, to be encouraged by others and to encourage others. I guess during the week particularly, prayer and Bible study are probably the two big ones for me. Probably feel like I've got a better mastery of one of those than the other, but it's always work in progress. But again, I think if I was a good friend to them, that maybe we could agree that I could help them with that. Maybe we could catch up periodically and challenge each other on, how we were going in those parts of our lives.
So would you treat them a bit like you do with the PT?
I think everybody needs a bit of that.
You use the word challenge, so yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So I think, you can just go along with people and, talk about the footy and never sort of go deep, but, I'd like to think that For most of us, our richest friendships are the ones where we can journey with people through the good and the bad, and that sometimes includes pulling them up, but also allowing yourself to be pulled up if and when you need it. And I can recall times in my life when people have tapped me on the shoulder and said, maybe that direction's not the right one for you to be going in. And you know, I may not have liked to hear it at the time, but it was, I can look back now and think it was really valuable. Mm.
Thank you, Christian. Let's just thank Christian for what he's shared with us. It is his day job, so I thought it worthwhile for us to hear from him. My own hope for us as a church is that we'd be people who are people of rhythm and habit, which can sound pretty boring, can't it? Because it sounds so predictable. But it turns out that if we want to grow in our life, we're going to need rhythms and habits of faith. These two passages that we looked at today, at first glance, seem to be in tension with one another. In 1 Timothy, if you remember, a very brief passage, it said, train yourself to be godly. Remember that? Train yourself to be godly. Then Galatians says something that sounds a little different to that. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In other words, Galatians, it seems, is saying that when the Spirit is at work in your life, it will produce fruit. So let the Spirit be at work in your life. And that can sound like these two ideas are in tension. One is about you training yourself, and the other one is about the Spirit's life working out of you. If you read the rest of that passage around Galatians text that we read today, you'll see that Paul is really worried about people living from their own power, their own energy, their own control. So he's really concerned about people living life apart from God. He calls that you live out of your flesh, is what he calls it. In other words, you hold yourself at the centre of everything and you do the best you can with all the things you want to do. The problem when you live life like that, and there's a few problems that he lists in verse 17, is he says, if you live life that way, the sinful nature desires what's contrary to the Spirit. So when you live out of whatever you want to do, it's in opposition to the things that God wants. Verse 19, it gives a list that we heard this morning of all the acts of the sinful nature, which sound pretty bad. And then in verse 21, it says that when you live like that, it closes out and says that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's got this little phrase, those who live like this. In other words, Paul was saying that when you live in your own way of doing whatever you want, it becomes a habit in you. It becomes a habit in you. That's what the Greeks trying to say, is that those who make this their habit will live in these kinds of ways and they will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's interesting, I think, that he recognizes that whenever you just follow your own desires and do whatever you want, Paul recognizes that it becomes a habit in you. And he says that it's the acts of the sinful nature. In other words, you stop even thinking about doing these things. Your body takes you there. Your body takes you there. So what I know is if you invest yourself in making choices that put you in places where there's sexual immorality, eventually your body takes you there. You may have started out thinking you could make choices about what you do sexually, but eventually your body takes you to places that God doesn't want you to go because it becomes a habit in your body. So Paul recognizes that we can develop bad habits in our bodies, in our lives, when we follow our own desires. So in a way, it sounds like Paul's in saying the opposite of what he's trying to say to Timothy, which is train yourself. But Paul does tell us that when we live by the Spirit, when we make choices that help the Spirit come to the front, when God's desires come to the front in our life, then it produces this fruit of grace, which isn't a result of our efforts, but it's a result of the Spirit's life coming out of us. So when we make choices, for instance, in verse 24, if you make a choice to belong to Jesus, if you make a choice in verse 16 to walk by the Spirit, or in it's in a lot of places, verse 18, to be led by the Spirit, to live by the Spirit, to be keep in step with the Spirit. If you make those kinds of choices, if you make the choice in verse 17 to not do what you want, or in verse 24 to crucify your flesh, if you keep making these kinds of choices, you're going to develop a habit in your life where the Spirit's life will come out of you, that you'll become a person who is full of love, joy, peace, patience. Paul contrasts two kinds of habits that you can develop in your life. You can develop the habit of following your own nature, your own sinful desires, or you can develop habits which actually let the life of God come out of you. That's what he does. And that's what I think when he's talking to Timothy, he's saying to Timothy, you need to train yourself to have those habits. You need to train yourself to be godly. I actually think you just don't wake up having figured out everything it means to belong to Jesus. Just like, for instance, if I wanted to run a marathon, I am not going to wake up tomorrow and then run a marathon. Just won't happen. Because my body isn't ready for it. Luke Hutchinson, you might remember, he was on staff here. He runs marathons quite regularly. And I think it's a 6-week turnaround of what he does to get there. And this is just off the top of my head, but it's something like 3 times a week he'll start out at running his first 15K 3 times a week, and then he'll push it to 26. And anyway, when he tells me what he can do in 6 weeks to get ready for a marathon, I know for sure I cannot get up tomorrow and run a marathon because I'm just not ready for it. And sometimes I think when we come to Jesus, we figure that everything is ours already, that I've lived this way for in my life. I've living my own way, doing my own thing. And then I come to Jesus, I'm just going to naturally get up the next day and choose to do what Jesus wants. And it's not true. Because your body, your mind, your feelings, your heart are so used to making different choices to what God wants. I do agree that God makes big changes early. For instance, he can change your heart. He can turn you around from not liking God to loving Jesus, and that's a big change already. So you've got a firm intention to try and live differently. But in the big problem areas of your life, you're going to find it's harder work. It's harder work. And you need to train yourself in figuring out what it means to belong to Jesus. You need to train yourself in keeping in step with the Spirit. You need to train yourself in resisting and crucifying your selfish desires. You need to train yourself to do that, which is why Paul says to Timothy, train yourself to be godly. I think training is a helpful image because you think about athletes and musicians. They are disciplined people, aren't they? They go out and they develop themselves to produce their best because they know that there's a game coming or there's a performance coming. They practice hard. I think it's a helpful image. I also think it's helpful because it's not always clear when you watch an athlete or a musician how their training connects to their performance. So musicians will practice over and over and over again scales. It doesn't matter how good they are. They'll continue to practice scales. One of my favourite musicians is Tommy Emmanuel. He's a guitarist. And Tommy Emmanuel plays every day with a metronome. every day with a metronome. So that's a fundamental of just keeping in time. You would think Tommy Emmanuel had nailed that by now. But every day, metronome is out and he plays with the metronome. By the way, if you're a musician, there's no excuse to stop playing scales or playing with metronomes. An athlete will do drills over and over again because they are honing things, their skills now, and it doesn't look like it's connected to the game or the performance, but as they focus in on these basics, it perfects their skill set so they can do what they need to do come the performance. I think that's very helpful for us as Christians because we face lots of challenges in life. That's not when you ought to start training, when life is tough. You don't start then. You start training by doing your drills every day, by doing the basics every day. And so Paul says to Timothy, train yourself. And I think the image of PT, a personal trainer, is helpful. In fact, I probably ought to consider myself a personal trainer in a spiritual sense. Because Paul is like Timothy's personal trainer, saying, train yourself, Timothy. Get ready for what you need to be ready for. And any PT will tell you that training is not, it requires being deliberate, requires being planned. I know that Christian keeps records, tells you what numbers you need to hit this week. He sets up a rhythm of what you're going to do. He encourages you. And that's the way that we ought to approach our spiritual life, Paul says, is we ought to approach it like an athlete or a musician would, is we've got to be deliberate about it, plan. Did you know that you could do lots of spiritual activity and not grow? You could go to church every week and not grow. You could recite the Lord's Prayer every day and not grow. Because it's not stretching you. It's just activity. It's not growing you. And Paul says to Timothy, train yourself. Learn how to grow yourself in your faith. Stretch it. Figure it out how you can go further, go harder in your faith. And then he urges Timothy, he says, train yourself to be godly. Train yourself to be godly, which is essentially this. The focus of this training is to be like Jesus. The focus of this training is to be like Jesus. Not to live a balanced life. If you're a high performance athlete, do you live a balanced life? No. Because the goal is to win. The goal is to win. And so you train in a way which is not balanced by anyone else's stretch of imagination. I mentioned in the past that the food that a swimmer will eat is ridiculous. Just the volume of food that they'll eat. The kilometers that even Christian rides in a week is crazy. Because their goal is not to live a balanced life, it's to pursue winning. Well, our goal is not to live a balanced life, it's to pursue godliness. It's to become more like Jesus. So we ought to train. But we ought to train in a way which says we're serious about that goal, which is to become like Jesus. To live with Jesus at the center of everything we do. To follow wherever the Spirit might lead. To treat our bodies as if it needs to be crucified. Crucified, that's not a light word, is it? Crucify your desires, it said in Galatians. Kill them off because it holds you back. This is the attitude that Paul is encouraging Timothy to bring to his faith, and I suspect you and I today, is you ought to train yourself, take it seriously, and you ought to train yourself to be godly, pursue godliness above everything else. What was the reward? Christian mentioned that he helps people keep a goal in mind. He said this, for godliness, is useful. For godliness is useful, profitable for all things in this life and in the next. Godliness is profitable in all things in this life and in the next. Sorry, Christian, it does say that physical training is of some value, but godliness is of great value for all things. I need to tell you that when you train yourself to become more like Jesus, it spills over into every part of your life. Here's an interesting little connection. What we know is if you go off and do physical training, let's say you come into that training time stressed, right? What we know is you come out of that training time feeling better, and it helps you with other things in your life. Well, here's what Paul would say to us, that if you train yourself to be godly, you may come in with all kinds of worries and anxieties, but the way you leave is good for everything in your life, now and into eternity. And for those of us who take Paul's words quite seriously, that we are to train ourselves to be godly, that we are to learn how to belong to Jesus and be led by the Spirit and resist and crucify our desires. For those of us who take that seriously, what we would say it is good for our whole life. We are better people because we train hard for godliness. This series has been an invitation to you, for you to train yourself to be godly. That's why we have done it. So that you might think about how you can grow, how you can be stretched, how you can put the Spirit of God at the center of your life, how you can follow Jesus more faithfully, how you can be led by the Spirit. This series has given you ideas about what you can do to train yourself. I only mentioned 5 different key habits. There are many more than that. For instance, Lent could be a key habit to help you grow because it teaches you to say no to your flesh. John. Teaches you to say no to your flesh. Teaches you how to say no to that hunger. But we've given you this in this series, 5 key habits. The habit of word and prayer. That if you learn how to have a rhythm of word and prayer in your life, that you'll deepen in your relationship with God. Isn't that important? How can you grow in that? Are you just trying at it, or are you training for it? How can you grow in your word and prayer life? Here's the promise that if you do that, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You could have that kind of word in your life. It would unveil the problem areas of your life. It would encourage you to think better of yourself when your mind tells you bad things. You could have that in your life. If you pray, it says in the scriptures, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. If you pray, that anxiety can go if you have a life of prayer. When you connect with others, that people will know that you're my disciples. If you love one another, that you'll know others and you'll be known by them. If you disciple others, that you'll be stepping into making disciples of every nation and seeing people grow in faith, it will encourage you. If you learn how to serve others, that you will fulfill the law that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If you could grow in these habits, you will not be unproductive in your life. That's the deal. The deal is if you can grow and train yourself, you will not be unproductive in your life. It will have value for all things in your life. If you could figure out how to have a rhythm and a pattern of life where these things are put into you. I'm being firm on this because no personal trainer is a wuss when it comes to their encouragement. When you get to that last five repetitions and you go, I don't want to do them, they go, oh, yeah, it's okay. Don't they? No, they don't. They start counting down. Five. It's like they didn't even hear you. Four, three, two to go. They start counting down. I'm being firm on you because so many of us started like in January the 1st with great intentions and by February the 14th have noticed they've waned. And I'm being firm on you because if you do not have these habits in your life, do not expect to have the godliness come out of you. Just like if I stopped paying attention to my physical body and not exercising, for instance, what will happen to my fitness? Why would you expect something different in your spiritual life? You can make choices around these things. What faith habit do you need to stretch more in? How can you make these habits a habit? Those are the choices that you have. And I'd encourage you to make them. Even now. I'm going to pray as we close. Give you some space to just ponder this. What faith habit do I need to be stretched in? And how can I make these habits a habit? Try and answer that question even now, just as we close in prayer. Our God, talk to us. By your Spirit, challenge us. We are thankful that the Spirit's power is at work in us. To will and to act according to your purpose. But what we also notice is that we can resist that. We can resist that actively by saying no, or we can resist that passively by doing nothing. I pray for us, each one, that we take responsibility for our life with you. And that we would hear this urging of Paul to a young man. We would hear that urging for ourselves. Train yourselves to be godly. But we face challenges, if not now, into our future, which will be too much for us if we stand against them alone. So we need you to be working in us now. So I'd pray that each one of us will make decisions that will stretch us, grow us, make us ready for any challenge, and that we will develop in our life habits that will make us strong in faith and in life. This I pray in Jesus' name.